Good morning. How exciting to see this, all these beautiful people here. It's just lovely to see. My name is Mary Jo, and I have the privilege today of bringing you God's Word. And it's from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given, as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And this is the word of the Lord.
Everybody, great to see you. My name is Mim Hosking, and I know some of you because you've been at Mounties and are visiting here today to support Dan. And I've been on staff at Mounties for a number of years, but I've been in a new role the last 12 months with Baptist Churches WA, where I actually get to work with Mike Bullard in that role. And I've also joined Stepping Stones as chairperson of the board. So I've been visiting this community quite a lot lately, and it is just such a joy to be with you today. So let me pray, and then we'll jump into explaining a little bit of Ephesians 4. Amazing God, we do thank you for this special day, a day of thanks and gratitude to Mike and Rhonda, and a day of welcome for Dan and Anna and Seb. Lord, we thank you for this church, for this beautiful community, and we thank you for your word. We ask that you would speak to us today through your message. Amen. Well, I actually have just here, thank you, I'll grab this one, a jar of shells. I'm not sure if you have ever collected shells as you're walking on the beach. It's actually not illegal. You're allowed to do it because they're no longer living. But maybe something has caught your eye as you've walked along the beach and you've picked up a shell, and you might even have a collection at your house. They're different shapes, different patterns, different colours. Some are weathered by the sea. Once creatures lived in them. They're uniquely crafted, influenced by their environment and the currents that carry them. Every shell is intentionally created by God to be a home that once protected and sustained a life to be inside it. In a similar way, we are each uniquely crafted by God. Each of us is shaped differently, gifted differently, and formed through our experiences. None of this is accidental. God has designed every person with intention and purpose. Our Bible reading today that Mary Jo read for us in Ephesians 4 reflects this truth as it speaks about the different kinds of leaders in a church, different roles. Though they're diverse, each one can show God's beautiful and intentional design. We see in verse 11, church leaders can have different skills and strengths. So if we have a look here, we've got apostles. They start new things and help the church to move forward. Prophets inspire us to listen to God and remember what really matters. Evangelists love telling people about Jesus. Pastors care for people and help everyone to feel safe and loved. Teachers help us to understand the Bible and how to live it out. The church needs a team of leaders who are diverse with different skills, personalities, and roles. God gives each leader a different purpose. Often, only one or two of these things can be a real strength and a passion for an individual leader. Now, as I was preparing for today, Mike Bullard mentioned two guys, and you might have heard of these guys, John Wesley, and maybe you've heard of George Whitefield. They were both part of the Oxford Holy Club in the 1730s, like 300 years ago. Both had a deep passion for evangelism, but they led and preached in very different ways. John Wesley was organised and methodical. He preached clearly and he gathered new believers into small groups and trained others to preach. He helped build the Methodist movement and multiplied followers of Jesus through discipleship and training in organised small groups. George Whitefield was a powerful and passionate preacher. His voice carried to huge outdoor crowds, and his emotional preaching really impacted people's hearts. He travelled constantly, and for many years, he actually preached over 60 sermons a week. Isn't that ridiculous? But it's actually really sad that these two men didn't work together. Both men served God. Whitefield had passion and skill as a preacher and evangelist. But it was Wesley who was most remembered because he invested in the ongoing discipleship and teaching to equip followers of Jesus. Our churches have leaders, Ephesians 4:12 says, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. I wonder what equipping God has for you this year. What are the things that God wants you to know and learn? The King James Version says this verse like this, that church leaders, from verse 12, are for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That actually reads a little bit differently to what we first read. Let me ask you, maybe the kids, maybe some kids at heart, what is a comma for? Seb, have you learned about commas? Do you know what a comma is for? What does it do? When you read it, you kind of take a breath. It's a pause, yeah, you take a breath. And it's often used in a list. So, for example, if you're going camping, you might pack your purple elephant, pajamas and a toothbrush. Or you might pack your purple elephant pajamas and a toothbrush. So you either have an elephant with you or you have purple elephants on your PJs. The comma actually makes a difference. So notice here in the King James Version where the comma is. The way that we read this is that the leaders in the church have a list of responsibilities. One, for perfecting the saints, that is the followers of Jesus. Two, they do the work of ministry. And three, they will edify the body. But the comma's not meant to be there. Sometimes when the Bible's translated, people will add or take away something from the original meaning of the languages, and it's slightly misunderstood. So the NIV version that we read earlier is the most accurate, they've aimed to be the most accurate, I can't even say that word, accurate, textual reading, taking the original text and making it as accurate as possible so that it's in everyday English that we can understand. So the version we read earlier says it like this, that the role of the church leaders is to equip his people for works of service, to help us to have what we need to tell others about Jesus, to live our lives following the way of Jesus. It's not the church leader's job to do everything, but their role is to equip the people in the church, the congregation, us, and to keep doing that until we reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of Jesus. We grow in understanding, which is not just about knowing the right things in our head, but about our faith that leads to trust and obedience and love in action. Maturity is full measure, like a cup that overflows. Matthew Henry comments that the full measure of Jesus in our lives cannot be fully grasped perfectly until we reach heaven. But the more that we understand who Jesus is in our lives and what we've received from him, the more grace and sincere love and charity is established in us. This brings us unity as we put the needs of others above our own. Then we will no longer be like infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there and everywhere by every wind and teaching, by the lies that people tell us. So instead of confusion, we will know the truth, not swayed by the different teaching and ideas that take us away from Jesus, not distracted or concerned, should I believe this idea or what about this idea over here and who should I follow? And by that I don't mean just who will I follow on social media, but whose teaching will I follow? I wonder if you've ever been playing basketball, maybe when you first started out playing basketball and suddenly you're on the court and you get the ball and you're like, I don't know what to do with it. Do I throw it to somebody who's shouting at me, calling my name? Do I start dribbling it down the court or do I try and do a three-pointer? What will I do? And that's a little bit like what Paul's talking about here, with a child in the ocean storms, unable to swim, tossed all around, and it actually sounds a bit scary and dangerous, right? There are so many different voices that will give us information, telling us what to think about ourselves, how to behave, all these different information, what to buy, and how to make our lives better. Perhaps you are searching for truth and love, but you get confused by all the different options, all the different ideas. Well, Paul, writing these words in Ephesians to new believers 2,000 years ago, warned them that not everything people say is true. Paul encourages the church in Ephesus to be the truth tellers, to speak the truth in love, which we can all do. Then we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body. We don't grow in our faith by drifting away from Jesus or from each other. We grow by staying closely connected, like ligaments holding the body together, because separation is damaging and painful. Just as a church can't function without Christ, none of us can mature spiritually if we cut ourselves off from the rest of the body. When we strive for unity and move from immature instability and grow into healthy, mature community, a congregation that is led and nourished and directed by Jesus Christ himself. Jesus holds us together and leads each of us to play our part. As we consider the seashells, we've acknowledged that they are uniquely created by God to provide a home and protection for a sea creature. They are different and interesting. There's also some other ways that shells can be used for decoration, for jewellery, for shell bread for chooks to eat, and to be crushed as aggregate in cement. Shells remind us of the people in our church. Some are here to protect, they are strong. Some are beautiful and helpful. Some might feel broken. Some people might just be here for decoration. But God actually has a bigger plan and purpose. He designed us to be like Jesus and to tell others about Jesus too. So let's just take a breath and maybe even close your eyes. And I want you to just pause and wonder what God might be asking you to do. To be a leader who helps others. Perhaps to learn and be equipped to follow Jesus. To tell others about his amazing good news. Or maybe he needs you to stick close to him and others in unity. Let me pray. Mighty God, we thank you for your beauty in creation as we consider seashells today and the diverse people you have made. We thank you that you have made all of us with a plan and a purpose. And I pray that we will each do our part to equip others to become mature, that people will know you because your love and generosity and grace is overflowing in our lives. We thank you for this church community and the place of belonging it provides. May East Fremantle Baptist Church continue to be a church that points others to you and equips them to keep following you. Amen.